As the plates are being passed, I just want to say it's good to be back. Missed last week. It's great to have guys like we who can step into the pulpit and preach. And yet at the end of the day, we always miss being present with you all. And so it's good to be here this morning on Thanksgiving weekend, right? Or, well, I guess it's Thanksgiving weekend. It's the week before Thanksgiving. How many of you think that it just came way too fast this year? At least it's me. Like, I blinked and it's like we are in Thanksgiving. Just a couple of things I want to point our attention to as the plates are being passed. Even as I mentioned that Thanksgiving is upon us, as we've already talked about, this is also a reminder that Christmas is right behind it. It's right on its heels. And we have this wonderful privilege and opportunity that we have done for years here at Central, which is to partake in a ministry called the Tree of Angels, which we call the body of Christ here at Central, to basically step into the lives of kids throughout our community to help provide and make sure that they've got gifts for that Christmas season. And so we've got 2 weeks left of Tree of Angels. If you've already picked up a name of a kid, I encourage you, don't be like me and leave it on your counter, which is where ours are still at. Go get those gifts and make sure you bring them into the church so we can get those prepared and ready to give to Youth Horizons and our ministry, His Helping Hands, to give out to kids this season. But if you haven't stepped into that yet, this is a great opportunity. It's a super easy opportunity for you, for families, for small groups, for your gospel life encounter space, to engage in that, to go pick one of those cards up and purchase a gift for a kid and make sure and know that that's going to get to them, to encourage them during this season and help those ministries embody the gospel in the presence and the life of those kiddos. And so just really encourage you to do that. Our table is right outside these main doors just to the left. And so Barb and others will be there to be able to get that information from you and to you. Also, as I said, Christmas is right upon us. We get to move into our Advent season, into our Christmas season, and Advent just means the coming of the One, and so it's that season for the next several weeks. We get to focus on the coming of Christ, so we're super excited for that, but many of you know that another one of our traditions here at the church is to have a Christmas program where we can gather together to just be together as the people of God here and celebrate the coming of our King and do all those fun things, but also proclaim the gospel. And so on December 8th, Peter and his team have done a ton of work. They've done a phenomenal job preparing our program for this year called The Thrill of Hope. And that is December 8th, 7 p.m. We only have one presentation this year, and so be mindful of that. But I would really encourage you this year to see this as an opportunity to reach out to those that may not normally be willing to come into the church. All right, so those that you may know that don't know Jesus, this is super easy to do. It's Christmas, and hey, come to a Christmas program because we're going to share the gospel, because isn't that what Christmas is all about? Right? So we're going to share that. And so we've got these invitations that are out at our Info Central booth, which is right outside these main doors. I encourage you to go get those. Take these. Offer these to people that you know. Come with them. Say, hey, would you come with me on December 8th to this program? And maybe you can't do that with everybody, but you can give them to your waiters, your waitresses, your coffee house people. You can give them to your coworkers. But we really want to try to invite people who don't know Christ. And if they do know Christ and they're just looking for an opportunity to come and celebrate the Lord, to invite them to be present with us that evening on December 8th. And so please do that. Those invitations, again, are out at Info Central right after the service. You can grab those. At this time, we'll go ahead and turn our attention to this text for this morning as we focus upon Thanksgiving. And Patty, if you'd go ahead and come on up and read our text for us. And if you would, please, if you're able, please stand with me out of respect for God's word. We will be in Colossians chapter 3 today.
Good morning. The text is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You may be seated.
Thank you, Patty. Church, pray with me. Father, we come this morning, and we do come to give thanks for all that you are, for all your characteristics and all that you have done in our lives, Father, all you've done in history. Father, we also come this morning recognizing that for some, giving thanks during this season is hard, that we've walked through difficult things this year, difficult moments this year. Father, I'm even just reminded of one of our dear sisters who is a part of this church who lost her husband yesterday. Father, pray for her. Pray for her family. It's hard to come to a place of thanksgiving in the midst of that kind of sorrow. And as we talk about thanksgiving this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just stir our hearts to be focused on the right things, to be focused upon you. Pray, Father, as we look at this word, that it would encourage us, that it would challenge us, that it would press us towards the way that you would have us be, even in the midst of those difficult times, in the midst of the good times, in the midst of the celebrating and the joyous times as well. And so, Father, I just want to pray that you would be with us this morning, that you would give us your favor. Father, I want to pray that you would lead us into truth by your Spirit, and that ultimately, Lord, that what we discuss this morning would not be of me, would not be of any man, but, Father, it would be from your word to your people, and may we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you would have for us. And then we walk out of this place encouraged and challenged and maybe just a little bit more in love with you than we were when we walked in. Father, may that be the case this morning. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. You guys have all known that if you've been around here for very long, that there was several years ago I had the opportunity to go to India. And while I was there with our ministry that we work with called the India Gospel League, I was having the privilege of being able to teach about 600 pastors. And that was a weird space for me because I was listening to them and felt like I was being taught more by them than they were learning from me, for sure. But I had this wonderful opportunity to meet this one guy. I was there for about a week. Early on, he came up and started to talk to me. And his name was Prince. And you'll see a picture of Prince up here on the screen. And this is Prince, and you'll see the reason why I took the picture of Prince is because that smile that was on his face was plastered on his face all the time. Like, I talked to him, he would come up to me after sessions and ask me questions and engage, and like, he smiled incessantly. Like, I could see him in the audience smiling while we were preaching. Like, he just smiled all the time. And so as I got to know Prince a little bit, I kind of got to press into him and hear his story a little bit and talk with him. And this is a guy, he was about 22, 23 years old. He was somewhere in that, real young guy. And I'm looking at him and I'm beginning to hear his story. And Prince started to tell me and just say, man, I'm so thankful that I'm here. Prince started to share kind of where he was from. He was from a very rural part of India. And if you know much about that, that means that he was poor. And I mean poor, very poor, didn't have much of anything. In fact, the white shirt that he's wearing here, I think was probably the only shirt he has. He had a Bible that he carried with him that looked tattered, and I'm not even 100% sure it was a complete Bible, but it was a treasured possession that he held. And he began to tell me more about his life, and Prince was a pastor of a church in that rural area. Now, I was like, wow, you're 22 years old and you're already pastoring a church. Like, that's crazy. And he started to tell me a little bit more. He said, well, actually, my dad planted the church. And just a few months ago, my dad passed away. And so I got the opportunity to be able to take over that church. And now we're looking to plant another church. And I'm also providing for my family because I'm the oldest born in my family. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, wait, why are you smiling? Like, none of this stuff is stuff that would make me smile. Like, he even told me that he was engaged, and I started to probe him about his fiance, and I was like, so Prince, tell me a little bit about your fiance, and he was like, I've never met her. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm getting married in 2 weeks, and I'm so excited, and I'm like, and you don't know her? Like, I'm not thankful for that, like, right? And he is, and he's so excited. He's like, but I'm so thankful that my mom knows me better than I know myself, and this is who she picked for me, and so I just trust and know that this is going to be good. This is the thing that Prince, this is the kind of guy Prince was. And I'm sitting there listening to Prince being like, The things that you're talking about, the loss of your dad, having to step into a role that you're not prepared for, having to care for a family in a poor place. And remember, like, this isn't like the church is here. He's not getting paid to pastor. Like, they don't have money to give their pastors anything. And so he's not only pastoring a church, planning a church, but he's trying to raise up a family that was left to him that wasn't his own. And yet he's smiling all the time. I'm like, how can you be so thankful? How can you be so grateful to the Lord in everything that you communicate? And you think about this text in Colossians. This is being written by Paul. And if you know what's going on in Paul's life, Paul is writing this not from home, not from a palace, from prison. And at some point in the future, he's going to be beheaded in that prison. And he's calling to a persecuted church to be thankful. To be thankful. And this isn't only a place in Colossians. We see this all throughout the scriptures. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 says this. This is Paul again. And do not get drunk with wine. That's important this Thanksgiving, right? For that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. And this is the important part. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for everything. Always. Really? See, here's what I struggle with a little bit in when I think about this particular holiday. I think for a lot of us, this holiday's relatively simple. Like, we sit around a table, we've got family, we've got health, we've got homes, we've got jobs, we've got good finances, we've got good cars, we've got good clothes. And so it's easy for us to sit around and talk about the blessings of God. But what about those people that's not so easy? What about for the people this year where their circumstances aren't that easy, where they haven't, they don't have the car, they've lost their jobs, the finances have changed, or maybe, and I know there's some in this room because I've gone through the funerals where you're missing someone at the table. How can we be thankful in the midst of that? And I think oftentimes when we come to Thanksgiving, what the answer is for us is simply this. Well, I know that that's been hard, so just don't focus on that. Focus on the blessings you do have. Right? Which there's an importance to that, but that's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's almost like that those things don't matter. And so how is it that we then can be thankful in all circumstances, regardless of what we have? Well, here's the point. Thanksgiving isn't about the gifts. It is about the giver. Amen? The most important thing that we can see today is that every single moment of your life, every breath of your life, every joy celebrated, every sorrow grieved, everything you have ever been given, everything that you have ever lost, everything you have, all of it, especially as a believer, happens to you, is an opportunity for thanks. It's an opportunity for thanksgiving, because at the end of the day, it all happens underneath the watchful care of a good, loving Father. Amen? See, Prince was thanking the Lord because he understood the Lord. That was his focus. He understood the Lord, and so he was thanking the Lord. And Paul comes to us in this text in Colossians, and he gives us a command in the middle of it. In verse 15, he says, and after all of these things, be thankful. How do we obey this command? I love what Paul does, because he says be thankful, but he doesn't leave us with that. In fact, after that, he says, then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers and sisters, if you want to know how to be thankful and what thankfulness looks like and why thankfulness should come, the first and most important thing you need to know is that you should let the word dwell in you. You should let the word dwell in you. Why is that important? Well, it's important for a couple of things. First, the word of God reveals his face. Amen? See, this world, despite what many out of this church would want you to believe, is not some spinning ball of random chance, is it? It has been created. It has been designed. It has been designed and created for a reason, for a purpose. It is being held together by one who has made it all for that purpose. There is a name behind it. That name is Yahweh, the mighty one, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing, the ever-present, the eternal, the just, the righteous, the caring, the compassionate, the father of the fatherless, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor, the merciful God, the gracious God, the jealous God, the wrathful God, and the God who is love. Amen? Brothers and sisters, we would know none of that about him without his word. His word is what reveals him to us. This is who he is. We would not know these things. There is not some God up there that is distant from us that we can define and make who we want to be. We have an anchor and a refuge that has been revealed to us because he wants to make himself known to us. And he makes himself known to us in his word. And it reveals his face, it reveals his character, it reveals his promises, it reveals his faithfulness. Listen, Prince was not thankful that his dad died. Like, we miss that sometimes, don't we? Like, he wasn't grateful. He didn't get that phone call and go, man, thank you, God, for letting my dad die. But you know what he was thankful in? He was thankful in a God that he knew wouldn't leave him alone. He was thankful in a God that says that nothing happens for his kids, that he is not behind, and that he cannot work for the good. He is thankful that at the end of the day, there's a larger plan in play than just Prince. And most of all, he is thankful that Jesus is the resurrection and his dad's story is not over. See, he's not thankful in the loss of his father, but he's thankful in the God whom he can rest in. And he only knows that God because of this. Because of what he's revealed to him through this. Prince's thankfulness, as all of our thankfulness should be, is in the King who sits upon the throne. This is why when the word dwells in us richly, we can be thankful in all things. And I'll show you practically how this plays out for us in a moment. But secondly, letting the word dwell in us richly is important is because it is the light of life. Psalms 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, two things that are important for us. Number one, we are not left in this place without a guide. In fact, we have two of them, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who guides us and directs us, but we also have the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit uses to guide and direct us. We have a light to our lives. God has not just saved us from our sins, but he has given to us his will so that we know how to live life abundantly, so that we can come underneath his reign and begin to experience the goodness of his king, of this king. We've talked about this before, but I think it's more than just that. Yes, we have a guide, but secondly, we are also reminded and led to a hope that for those of us who are in Christ, our path is a path that leads to everlasting joy, isn't it? So this is a road. There's a destination for all of our stories, isn't there? So that's what this word tells us. That from the beginning of all creation, from Genesis all the way up into this moment, and then far into the future, we all have a destination. This is his story. And we are reminded of that. And as we study and we look to his word, as we let the word of God dwell richly in us, we are reminded that none of the things that we are going through right now end in this time. There's another ending, isn't there? The ending is the day when Jesus returns. For the second time, we get to celebrate the first one in the next couple weeks. When he comes again and establishes his kingdom, and all of that is wiped away. So here's the thing. If our path takes us through loss, which all of our paths will, if your path takes you through hurt, which all of our paths will, if it takes you through sickness, joy, longing, the valley of the shadow of death, his word reminds us he is going to lead you through. Amen? Isn't that not something to be thankful for? In the midst of all that suffering, in the midst of all that hurt, we give thanks knowing that this isn't the end of the story. It's not the end of the stories. When things aren't good, our thankfulness will disappear if we forget this. Or it'll become hard. And here's the deal. It doesn't mean that we always have to be happy, but we can always be thankful and give gratitude to the one who is guiding us home. So, see, we dwell richly in the Word because the Word anchors us not just to the King, but it anchors us to His story and to His purposes. So Paul does that. He says, listen, let the Word of God, of Christ, dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing you. And then he goes on and he talks about how we can then express our thankfulness. So thankfulness expressed, what does that look like? Well, here's the thing. We look at it from one perspective. We all have certain standards of what we think thanks looks like, don't we? Like, it's why we've all maybe been in that moment where we felt the injury of a child opening the present we got them, and we see the look of their face go from genuine excitement to this weird, like, contorted, forced excitement, as though tears well up in their eyes, and we kind of have this sense of like, but I bought that gift for you. But you bought them a pack of underpants, right? And so we go, man, like, I'm so upset because you're not thankful. Don't you understand the goodness of this gift? And the kid's like, no, I don't. I just want a toy, right? Like, we all have some understanding of what thankfulness should look like. And oftentimes it's come, say thank you, and talk about that. Just make sure that I know that it's appreciated. But here's the deal. Like, in our culture, we have some standards for that. But isn't it the most important thing that the giver of the gift feels the appreciation? Like, isn't that the most important thing? That they receive and hear. So if you're given a gift, that it's not just good enough for you to say thank you. You want that person to know you genuinely are grateful and have gratitude for it. And so God has given to us ways that we can give thanks to Him. One of those ways is expressed in singing. Now, I want to be very, very clear about something. This is very important. I need everybody to hear this. If you ever want to express your thankfulness to me for anything, don't sing to me. It's just weird. Right? Like, it's going to weird me out. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. But here's the deal. For whatever reason, and I think I know why, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but for whatever reason, God has said that one of the ways that you can express your thankfulness to me, for me, is through raising your voice up and singing. I don't know why, but the giver has said, this is what pleases my heart. Isn't it crazy that we would seek to thank him in different ways? Like, he said, like, praise me. Lift your voice up to me. It doesn't matter what you sound like. Praise God, right? Like, just sing to us. And here's what I believe happens, and I think this is the giving nature of our God, is that not only does he get his heart blessed by that, but I also know and genuinely believe that he understands and knows and is built into that, that something happens in us when we do that. And so if we want to express thankfulness, we're to sing. You know, it grieves my heart at times to see so many of us not willing to raise our voices in praise within the church. It grieves my heart to see so many people, like, just standing there. And I get it. Like, some of us can say, like, I'm not a good singer. And I'm right there with you. Nobody wants to listen to me sing except my wife. Like, no, it's okay, because it doesn't matter. You're not singing to the people around you. You're singing songs to the Lord. Or sometimes we misunderstand that the songs that we sing are not for us, they are for Him, right? And so we get wrapped up in style, and we get wrapped up in the way things sound, and we're like, I don't like the way that sounds. It's not for you, right? I get it. You might even say, like, listen, I don't feel very thankful right now. Let me just tell you that maybe part of the reason you don't feel thankful is because you won't lift your voice to Him in thanksgiving. So that's the beauty and the miracle of this. As we give to the Lord thanksgiving, He gives back to us, and it changes our hearts. So you may, I didn't come into this room feeling thankful. Sing about who He is. Sing about His character. Sing about His greatness. Sing about the gifts that He's given to us, and it might just change your heart. See, the Lord has called us to express our thanksgiving with song. That's important. Secondly, he's called us to express our thanksgiving in everything. I came to this and it feels overwhelming, doesn't it? I think a lot of times we tend to think about thankfulness in terms of a moment, right? So I give you a present, you say thank you to me. Moment over. That's not what this is about. This isn't even about a life that is one thankful moment after another thankful moment after another thankful moment. That's not what this is. This is a life lived as the moment. This is everything we are, every aspect of our lives being lived in thanksgiving for God, to what he has done, to who he is. Do you think that God is really pleased to have one day a year where we sit around and speak words of thankfulness? You think that's really what he wants? Imagine giving your kids this wonderful gift, and they come to you, and listen, maybe they're genuine, and they look at you and they say, Mom, Dad, thank you. But then they turn around and disobey. They turn around and don't do the things that you've asked them to do. They turn around and don't listen to you. What does their thankfulness mean? See, we're called to, in word and deed, to do everything in the name of our Savior. To live our entire lives in thankfulness to him. If you see the character of God, you see the glories of following him, and you recognize the hope that you have in him, you say thank you, and then you turn around and you do what he calls you to do. Do you use the voice that God gave you in thankfulness in a way that shines light upon him? Do you use your money in thankfulness in a way that shines light upon him? Do you use your home in thankfulness in a way that shines light upon him? Do you use the phone in your pocket or in your purse in a way that shines light upon him? Do you use your social media page in a way that shines light upon him? Do you use your health in a way that shines light upon him? Do you use your sickness in a way that shines light upon him? You say, well, how can I use my sickness? You know what? Some people that I have known have walked through sickness and have leveraged that sickness to share the gospel in ways I have never seen. And it is beautiful. Where people come to faith in Jesus Christ through their sickness because they say, I'm thankful even for this because my God is for me, not against me, because my God has saved me, because my God has redeemed me, and I'm going to leverage this for his glory because I'm thankful. And no matter how much suffering I go through in this world, there's another one coming where I'll never get sick again. See, we leverage everything for him. We want to express thankfulness in everything we do. This, brothers and sisters, is what thankfulness is all about. This is what Paul is calling us to. I ask the question, how can we be thankful in the midst of our lack? How can we be thankful in the midst of hurt? How can we be thankful in the midst of brokenness? I already said it, but I'll say it again. I contend that our thankfulness should always be tied to the giver, not the gift. Because then if you lose the gift, you still have the giver. The call for us today, the call for us this week, is to not have our thankfulness tied to the material or to our circumstance, but to the eternal one. Is your thankfulness tied to the eternal one? This week, will it be tied to the eternal one? I want to walk just through some very specific ways why I think that this can help. And listen, I know there's absolutely no way in the world that I can touch on the specifics of everybody's life in this room. And so I want to try to do it in generalities to help us understand like how dwelling in the Word can help us to walk in thankfulness. So let's just say, for those of us this week that will come to Thanksgiving in a moment of wealth, where we have the blessing of God, where we look at all the things and we just got all these things that we look at and we go, man, I'm so blessed. James 1:27 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. So here's the thing, as you dwell in that word richly in the midst of your wealth, you can be thankful that you have a God who loves to give good, give good gifts. Say that five times fast. Right? You have a God who loves to give good gifts. And so be thankful. Not just out of the circumstance, but be thankful for his character, because he has given it to you out of his character as a giver. But maybe this month or this week, you don't come to Thursday in wealth. Maybe you come to Thursday with an experience of want, poverty, hardship. Maybe the job has changed. Maybe the salary has changed. Maybe something has changed in your life. Well, Matthew 6, 31 through 32, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So as we dwell in this text richly, what do we learn? We can be thankful that he knows. He knows you. He knows your circumstance. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly where you are. You're not alone. He sees you, and he's saying, like, don't be anxious. Trust me. Like, trust me. And so you can be thankful that you have a God who knows. You have a God who sees. You have a God who says, I understand everything you need, and I will not leave you alone. So your thankfulness doesn't come from saying, I'm so thankful that I have nothing on my plate today. Your thankfulness comes from, I'm so thankful that I have a God who knows what I need. And I can trust him. When hard times come, some in this room have walked through unbelievably hard times this year. And I just want to read this verse, and this verse does not help, by the way, in the midst of hard times. You need to dwell richly in this knowledge before the hard times. And it's Romans 8, 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. As his child, he will turn all of your difficulty for eternal good. It's not my story, it's his story. And at the end of the day, and I know this is hard for people in the midst of suffering, it's why we need to dwell richly in the word when we're not in the midst of suffering, but when we are in the midst of suffering, we need to be reminded that 7 billion years from now, while we sit in the kingdom of God underneath the glory of who he is, none of us will regret what's going on right now. And none of us will question God for what's going on right now. We'll all say, I didn't see it then, but praise you for it. And so we give thanks for this knowledge that we trust in his promises. When you look at the world and you see that it is broken, and you feel the weight of that brokenness, what do we do? How can we give thankfulness to that? Well, Hebrews 13, 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. This is not our home. This home is not our home. So when you look at the brokenness, you'd be reminded, like your king will come back and he will establish a reign that does not have that brokenness. See, we can be thankful for everything, because it's thankfulness that is tied to the eternal one, not to our circumstance. And Paul knew that. And he was calling the people in Colossians, or in Colossae, to understand that. And I'm calling us this morning, as we approach this week, heartbreak, injustice, sin, times of plenty, times of want, every moment, every day, every circumstance of our lives has a God behind it who is worthy of our gratitude. The Lord dwells in his word, and he rightly helps us to see who he is, that we might trust in him. Prince was thankful because he knew his God. He knew his God. And I want that to be true of all of us. So church, this week, dwell richly in his word. Be thankful in him. Be thankful in his characteristics, in the life that he leads us towards, the hope that we have in heaven. Be thankful. Sit around your tables with your families and your friends this week and talk about him, not just our material blessings. Talk about him who's the giver of those material blessings. Talk about what this year has brought and how we can rest and be grateful in all circumstances because of him. Ask the question, as a family, how are we expressing our thankfulness to him? And we've got these questions and more in your bulletin, but this is what we want to approach this week with, a heart of thanksgiving towards the King. Amen? Towards the eternal one. Not thankful for our day and our circumstance, but thankful in who he is, who he has showed us to be in his word. We're going to end our time a little bit different. I would ask that you'd stand with me as we prepare to close our time together. And as we stand, I'm going to ask that prayer counselors and elders and pastors, if you'd go ahead and take your places, come up to the front and be prepared to just receive people for prayer. And here's how we're going to close. Peter's going to come back out and the team, and they're going to lead us in a song of praise. But here's what I would call us to. That if you're in this room this morning and you don't know Christ, and you don't know and you don't feel the reason to be thankful, maybe the moments of your circumstances that you're feeling right now, like they just feel too weighty, and you're like, I am not thankful, I feel angry, I feel hopeless, and you want to say, man, I've seen Christ in a new way today, and I want to talk to someone about that. We have prayer counselors and elders and pastors here. We also have them in the back at Info Central, so if you're not comfortable, come up front. You can go in the back and talk to someone. If you're not comfortable talking to anybody this morning, you can see in our bulletin a way that you can text and you can say, hey, like, I want to know more about Jesus, or I want prayer. Maybe you're in this room and you do know Christ, but the weight of the hurt and the suffering and the brokenness you have felt this year weighs heavy upon your shoulders. Let us pray with you. Let's help point you to the Word of God, which gives us hope. And so I invite you to come and to be prayed over, to be prayed with. We're never to walk alone in suffering. And so again, you can come up front, you can go out to the Info Central, you can text us and we'll reach out to you, but we want to pray with you. But as we close our time, what I want to do is I want us to lift our voices in thanksgiving to our King. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that you have saved. We thank you that you have come. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. You are the provider. You are the physician. You are our God, our mighty God, who has formed everything. Father, may we see you clearly, and Father, may you stir in us a heart of praise for who you are. We thank you, God. We thank you for being who you are. We just praise and pray these things in your name. Amen.